personalities you can relate to are on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I'm Scott Ferguson. This TSN 1050 Sports Center update for OK Tire. From brakes and batteries to steering and suspension, rely on OK Tire to get your car winter ready from top to tire. Go to OKTire.com for a location near you. Up till the past few days, Arizona was considered the worst team in the NHL, but right now, TSN hockey analyst Ray Ferraro thinks Buffalo has stolen the crown.
That's the worst team in the league right now. We joked about when we do our power rankings. I even had to erase with the old ink eraser and move Arizona up to 30th.
Yeah.
Stick those guys at 31. Like, that's bad.
Ray Ferraro on overdrive. Maple Leafs kick off the two-game road trip tomorrow night versus Florida. Our coverage starting at 6:30 with Leafs game night. And tonight, we've got TFC at Columbus, first leg of the MLS East Final. Our coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. Now, our hockey insider Bob McKenzie joining overdrive on TSN 1050, official voice of the Leafs. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Brian Hazy, O'Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. We get the plunger in here. We got Bob McKenzie. What's happening, Bob?
Not much, just looking it over with this plunger.
You ever thought you'd do an interview in studio with a plunger?
Sitting on the desk.
Brand new. Yeah, I've thought about it.
We're going to bring that
down to Studio 6 for the next broadcast.
You guys should.
In case it's required in show.
Right. Plant it during the quiz. Pull the plunger out. Anyway, we've been talking about that Leaf game last night, and everyone's got a different take on goaltender interference and the interpretation. I think if it's 50-50, they should count the goal, personally. I hate the review process. Yeah. I know you know that. I've said that many times. But what does the league want to happen?
I think the league's happy with the call that was made. I was kind of leaning towards it not being a goal, simply because I don't know that he was so far in the net, and then he's got to try and push himself out.
Yeah.
And never really get out to where he wants to be. That's my take on it. But I can understand why, if you're a Leaf fan, you're frustrated and you're thinking it happened so long afterwards. But there was clearly interference on the play. The question is, at what point, what's the statute of limitations
on time
on interference?
Yeah.
But in that case, I mean, and Jamie would know this better than me, but he was deep in the net and there was nothing to push off of.
Right.
If you're not deep in the net, you've got the post, you can get your skate down, but he was doing the, like the baby walking on the knees thing, trying to get back out,
yeah,
and not quick enough. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about it with Ray, because you think the league would ever get to a point where they would at least entertain, maybe started in the AHL, kind of the international rules of the crease just being off limits, where it makes it more cut and dry.
Yeah, because in that instance, internationally, you would have blown the whistle.
Yeah.
Like as soon as Hyman went into the crease and made as much contact with the goaltender as he made, they would simply blow the whistle and say, crease infraction. I don't know. I think North Americans might get frustrated every time somebody plants themselves in the blue paint, the whistle goes, because that's effectively what the referees internationally are supposed to watch for.
Right.
If they see a guy plant himself in the blue, as soon as they see him in the blue, it's like, blow the whistle no matter what's going on, and face off. So, I don't know. But, it's more cut and dried. There's no question. But it might be more cut and dried so far the other way that people would be frustrated by it. But there might be less controversy because you're heading off, the whistle gets blown internationally for a guy in the crease, not when the goal is scored, but when the guy goes in the crease.
Exactly.
So but there may be some frustration on the part of multiple whistles for guys going in it, or maybe the players like slashing and like face-off violations, which is conditioned to the fact I can't go set up in the blue. I got to stand outside the blue. And if I don't, I might risk the whistle going when we're in the offensive zone. So I don't have a problem with the international rule. I just wonder if people would be more hypersensitive about it.
Well, in the league for that matter, too. I mean, they kind of like their own rules and avoiding the international rules. It kind of seems that way anyway. And in a lot of ways, I agree with them. I don't want to see a European game in the NHL.
I'm terrified, and I've said this before, because of instant replay, because of some of the rule changes or adaptations as far as face-offs or slashing and stuff, that it really has an impact deep into the playoffs. I mean, I know it's such an outlier, but the Brett Hull, you know, the skate lace and the toe in the crease and a lot of these
right,
things.
Right, but that's kind of what we got now.
You're like, right.
That's what we've got now.
Right.
And, I mean, the way we're calling goalie interference and the challenges being used, you do run the risk of an overtime, you know, the worst case scenario, overtime of game seven.
I just said, like, if that play happens last night, we're all right with it happening November 20th on a Monday night against Arizona. But where this team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, believes they're heading, and the fan base believes where they're heading as well.
I'd rather
deal with it November 20th than
But that's luck of the draw.
Yeah.
You're
the
right.
Rule's the rule.
And it can't go both ways, right? It can be a situation where the Leafs get scored on in overtime and all of a sudden it comes back.
You're right.
So in the end, it all evens out.
It does.
That's why I don't like the review process, because I think in the end, everything does even out.
But,
so why waste the time?
Although if you didn't have the review process and it's an obvious one and it falls through the cracks.
It's controversial.
Both referees miss a blatant goalie interference call that a video review would automatically, because you can have the same thing happen in overtime of game seven. Blatant interference on the goaltender and nothing gets called and there's no video review process and the Stanley Cup is won and the fans go ballistic and people say, well, too bad. If we had video review, you could do this.
I will say one thing. I don't think they're consistent because it's, you watch enough games, you're like, you see one, we're like, that's got to be goalie interference. And they say, no. And then that one, you just see a bunch of different things happening. It's not consistent.
That's
because for the same reason every game that's officiated, there's no consistency in officiating because every referee's different. Every referee's got their own idea of what the standard should be. And that ultimately, that's all video review is. Video review is just allowing a referee who makes a subjective decision in the first place to make a call to review his work, check his work. That's all it is. And he has the decision to either go, yeah, I like the call I made, or no, I don't like the call I made. But at the end of the day, it's still a human being deciding his interpretation of the rule.
But see, I don't get the impression like they even are making a first impression or a first decision, because they don't have to. They know the review is coming.
Well, lots of times they do. In a lot of instances, they have to call a goal or no goal on the ice.
But it doesn't matter, though, Bob. Like, if they call like last night, they could have waved it off. The Leafs would have challenged. And so they would have got that review anyway. Call it a goal or call it off, it's getting challenged. It's either Arizona's going to challenge or Toronto's going to challenge.
But that part of it's important. To the extent that the video either refutes what they've, you know, whatever the initial call on the ice is, that's the one that's the real one until video review comes in. Mm-hmm. And then when video review comes in, it either reaffirms or, but you now need evidence to overturn something. So the referee is saying, I have to see some pretty clear indication on this video that the call I made was wrong, or I'm not going to, why would I make myself look stupid and switch it? So it needs to be overwhelming on that front. So there does need to be an initial call on the ice that is going to stand absent a change of heart.
And that's where you were coming to, that it actually took some stones last night on a star player, on Austin Matthews, at home on a potential game-tying goal
late in the game. Yeah. Would have been easy for him to say, no, actually, we're going to leave that one.
But
sorry, Rick Tocchet in Arizona.
But you're right, it he reviewed his work. He didn't see. He probably initially didn't see Hyman on the back door. He's probably watching the.
And it'd be easy to miss.
Be easy to miss. But you see the overhead where the stick goes in.
Yeah, and pushes him deep into the net.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was a goalie interference.
And I'm sure that the referees are probably. I know Garrett Rank, one of the referees. I call him up and ask him. But I'm guessing that they went through the exact same discussion that we just went through.
Yeah.
How long is long enough before the, you know, can that goalie scramble back in, or was he in a position? And it's a highly, highly, highly subjective thing.
The more I think about it, actually, the more courageous move would have been calling it a goal and going and explaining it to Rick Tocchet. Get right in his face and be like, this is why. Because he might have Latrell Sprewell'd that ref last night. Like, just starts choking him out.
Tock has a...
He looks terrifying still.
He looks like he chews on cement.
Oh.
Like, he looks so gritty.
He's so tough.
But
he looks so tough.
You go back and look at some of his...
Good Scarborough guy.
Oh, yeah.
Some of
deep
his
into
fights
Scarborough.
And stuff. Like, there was a Wendell Clark thing going around on Twitter
oh,
recently.
Oh, yeah, did you see that? Oh, my goodness. anybody...
Best was the first part of it where the goalie kind of nudged him and he just cross-checked
Sean
him right
Casey.
There.
Like, how many games is that right now? And today, like John Casey just trying to take a little bit of space for himself, and Wendell's, like, not having
Bob
it.
Bob Brook.
Oh, he buried him. Like, Casey was down. Like, he wasn't getting up either.
No, you take a punch in the back of the head from Wendell Clark.
Anybody that hasn't seen that Wendell video that's kicking around on Twitter,
Oh my goodness.
It really, that illustrates what playing in the, what the National Hockey League was like in the 1980s mm-hmm. and early 90s.
Like the guy's down turtling, and Wendell is pulling him
he's
up
just
and
one
laying
more,
a beating
just a little
him.
Extra for you.
Yeah. All right, let's clarify the Oliver Ekman-Larsson piece you put up, because Noodles and I interpreted this differently.
I thought you just poured cold water on a fire and said, it's
pretty
gone.
Much
go away.
So that's the interpretation that you want
but
right there. Okay.
I guess it would have been easy to ignore it and not write anything. But I think all I did, and again, it's interesting the reaction, how people perceive things. You know, some people are saying, oh, yeah, typical Toronto media trading and getting Ekman-Larsson to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, no, if you're to Noodle's point, Noodle's takeaway was that I said, no, it's the opposite of that. He's not coming to Toronto, and there hasn't been any discussion. But I also know how this market works, and I also... And so the genesis of it was, I was on Landsberg's show on Wednesday morning, and Steve Simmons was on, and we were getting towards the end of the segment, and we were talking about the Coyotes and how bad they were, because they, at that point, I don't think they'd beaten Montreal for their first regulation win. And he said, I'll tell you what, if I were the Leafs, I'd go out and try to get Ekman-Larsson. I can't imagine he's going to want to resign in Arizona and
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I was basically dismissive of it. I said, I don't think the Leafs, in order to get Ekman-Larsson, you'd have to give up one of the big three. I don't believe the Leafs are interested in doing that. I don't think Arizona wants to get rid of Ekman-Larsson. I don't think Ekman-Larsson actually wants to leave Arizona, although, you know, the longer they're really bad, the longer there's uncertainty about the rink, you never know on that front. And I left it at that.
Tell you what, that guy had himself a game last night.
Did he ever? Now I get to the weekend, and Phoenix, Arizona's in town, and suddenly I get a call or two from some people in the game, and they're like, "Hey, I know you poured cold water all over Ekman-Larsson to Toronto earlier in the week. Might just want a second." Mm-hmm. Second,
that set my takes off.
So, and I was like, ooh, it set me off too. Sunday right. morning, I'm like, oh, I wanted a quiet day today. I better get on the phone. So I worked hard and drilled down what I believe was a pretty solid refuting it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the piece was simply to say, listen, this is something Leaf fans talk a lot about. And we all fall into the trap of talking about it. But here are the reasons why I don't believe there's anything to it. That said, you know, you're better to cover your ass a little bit, too, because things sometimes change. But, you know, as of this visit to, and I knew that it might have legs over the course of the day on Monday with Arizona being in town. So I thought I'll do something I don't normally do. And that is write about something that's, in my mind, not happening. And the fact that I write about it when it's not happening, some people are like you, Brian, who say, well, Bob wouldn't be writing about it unless it was happening.
That's right. And
that's not true at all,
okay.
other than probably deep
true.
Down yeah. in the recesses of my mind somewhere, I was thinking this way, if a month or two or three from now, mm-hmm. suddenly Ekman-Larsson happens to be available, which I don't think he will be, but let's say he happens to be available, well, at least I kind of covered my ass.
Well, and that was my interpretation, was the fact that someone connected clearly spoke with you. I mean,
yeah, but not, it wasn't that connected.
Not Joe from the bridge.
That's my point, is it's not like, you know, we get tweets every day, hey, I'm hearing. No, yeah. You're not hearing. There's no way you're hearing. You're not taking tweets from random people and digging into it. That's why I was like, okay, there might be something here.
But I just thought it was an interesting dynamic for something that's had some conversation and to explain why I don't believe that it's happening.
Okay.
But, you know, why, you know, some people would want it to happen.
Well, and you can make that case certainly in Toronto. I mean, he's a very good player.
Absolutely.
That's a position that people are focused on, and they're a really good team.
I guess at the end of the day, what I felt like I needed to do was reinforce the fact that I don't believe the Toronto Maple Leafs have any inclination at this moment in time whatsoever to move a piece like Nylander or Marner for a big piece on defense. Mm-hmm. A, I don't think it's available, and B, I don't think they want to do it. And so until such time that someone like that is available, then for sure they're not doing it. And the Ekman-Larsson part of it probably needs reinforced again, that even though the Coyotes are off to this horrendous start, they still don't have it in their mind that this is something they want to do.
Well, we were talking earlier about the dumpster fires that are going, like, it seems like a lot of bad around the league. Mm-hmm. So if the Leafs were going to add a piece, wouldn't they try to just jump the gun and do it this year and say, why can't we be a part of that five or six? They already are a part of the five or six really mm-hmm. strong teams in the league. Why not try to add this year as opposed to waiting another year to see if these guys develop a little bit more?
Well, two things. Number one, because A, I don't think that type of defenseman that everybody envisions, like, who would it be? What would it take for you to give
that
up?
That I don't know.
What defenseman could you possibly get for, let's use, and again, just to reinforce, I'm not saying they want to or they're going to, but let's use Nylander as an example, or Marner, take your pick. One of the two of the big three, because we know Matthews is a non-starter. Yeah. But what player would make you say, I'm going to trade one of those kids for that guy? What defenseman?
I don't know. You would have to look at the dumpster fires, one being a team like Arizona, or you would have to look at a team like Calgary, possibly Carolina, that has the so-called some of the best young decors in the league, where there's just a lot of them.
Well, that's an interesting take, though. That's an interesting angle, because a lot of times people look at Doughty, Carlson. What about younger defensemen coming up that don't get talked about a lot? Like Carolina is a perfect example. Philly's got...
Carolina seems to have six of them in their lineup every night.
Like, let's say Philly calls up and is like, Ivan Provorov could be available.
Yeah, but see, in that case, I don't believe for a moment that they would.
The Leafs wouldn't make that deal, you don't think? Like, not straight up, but I mean...
You know,
like,
I'm not convinced that they would. Mm-hmm. I think they believe... I think the Leafs believe in having the three kids leading the way on offense, and that with Riley, Gardner, Zaitsev, and whatever else they can organically add without subtracting one of the big boys up front, that's how they're going to build this team.
Yeah, I can't blame them for that.
That's a very good core. That's the Shana plan.
And now,
could it change down the road? I suppose it could. Always could. But right now, in my mind, the Shana plan incorporates Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, and a group of defensemen that might not have a true number one, but in their mind, they'd like to think they've got a couple of number twos, a couple of number threes, and a number four instead of the traditional 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. and that they can build that defense by committee.
And looking at a team like Carolina, they probably would be, they're not going to move away. Like Slavin, to me, has really pushed up. A guy like Falk would be maybe a guy on the outside, and I don't know if that's
not enough value.
He's not a guy that would maybe put you over the top. Like he's a shooter. That's it. Like he's got a big shot from the back end, but I think he struggles a little bit in his own end. So
I'm not sure there's a defenseman on the Carolina Hurricanes as good as they are that the Leafs would say, yeah, we want him more than we want William Nylander or Mitch Marner. Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't blame them for that. I'm just saying.
So it kind of goes back to what the original point was: they're hard to find, mm-hmm. hard to find that type of player.
Well, that's a two-way street. It's hard to find a Mitch Marner and a William Nylander. Mm-hmm. You know, young, dynamic players who make this kind of an impact this quickly.
Tell you what, it gives you an appreciation for the way that Tampa is constructed. Like that's pretty solid through and through. I mean, goaltender out every position. It's like that's.
Well, they also had
youth,
so much
veteran skill, talent. Like it's all.
But you're right. Those trades occasionally do happen. I mean, Sergachev for Drouin was a perfect example.
Kid for kid.
So it, you know, it's not that it's impossible to happen. It's just you need a kind of a perfect storm.
All right, Bob.
Thanks, boys.
We'll see you Thursday. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us in studio every Tuesday and Thursday.